roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Mountain's Edge, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz. What's up, Goz?
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hey, how about today, Sunday? Football kicked off. We kind of took our mind off a busy MMA weekend, but that's always like a favorite day of the year, the official starting day of the NFL.
I have a couple things to say before you tell people to buckle up.
Okay.
NFL. At first, I wasn't digging it with no fans. It was the first sport that I felt like just felt weird without fans.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was getting into it. And then I'm starting to think we don't need preseason. The level of play was not that bad.
Oh,
for it being week one,
I'll meet you
with
halfway.
No preseason.
I've always said 4 games is a lot, but I think 2 games is nice. I saw a little bit of rust, just a little bit.
A little, but yeah. Considering you had no preseason,
considering you had
I thought
no preseason,
it
was good. Yes, yeah.
So after we buckle up, I have an idea.
Okay. So anyway, that along with the English Premier League kicking off, I mean, it was really, really an action-packed weekend. And, you know, we're slowly closing, bidding adieu to the end of summer. To summer, I should say. A lot of people say Labor Day, man. That's it. That's when I think back in the Midwest, they say the leaves change color. Shut up. It's still hot out here, man. People were still in pools where they could be, at beaches where they could be. And plus, our birthdays are at the end of September. And I've always wanted to be included a little bit in the summer. Not that I hate the fall. I love the fall.
I love the fall.
Me too.
It's my favorite. Well, no, winter's the best.
Winter?
Yeah, I love winter.
I mean, it's not my favorite.
You get cold, you throw on a blanket. You put on a jacket. The heat, sometimes you get hot, there's nothing you can do.
Put the AC on.
What if it goes out?
True. What if you don't have a jacket?
Yeah, I guess.
All right. So, folks, buckle up. It's going to be a fun MMA Junkie Radio Show as we recap Bellator 245. Bellator 246, and of course the UFC Fight Night, whatever they call themselves. It's Watterson versus Hill, ESPN Plus something, Fight Night series number this. I don't know, but we're going to go over all of it, and it's going to be a great show. So here we go.
Y caballeros, hablemos MMA con Danny Segura.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura here. Just wanted to drop in and tell you about a new show coming to MMA Junkie. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language podcast dedicated to all things professional fighting. On this show, we'll be covering the biggest news and topics of MMA, plus highlighting the most relevant stories happening in the growing Latin American scene. Hablemos MMA will also feature interviews with some of the best fighters, coaches, personalities, and experts in the game. You can find us every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform, starting July 27th. Talk to you then.
So before we officially dive into MMA, I wouldn't mind if I know a lot of you know how to reach us on social media. I sure would love to know your team now. Don't wait till you're 4-0 and go, oh, by the way, that's my squad. I'd like to know who you're rooting for. I'll remember some of them. Some I won't. Some will just be refreshers because I know that I know a lot of Junkie Nation and who they root for. Longtime Junkie Buffalo Blue roots for the Carolina Panthers. Longtime listener of the show, Dante from the San Fernando Valley. He amazingly, I don't know, it doesn't make no sense to me, but he's an Indianapolis fan.
He was an Olds fan.
An Olds fan?
Yeah. So what happened was he had two teams. Mm-hmm. He liked the Chargers and the Colts. Mm-hmm. But So he was just an Olds team. But when the Chargers left San Diego, he said, forget them. I'm just an Indy fan. So now he is an Indy.
But San Diego left like 2 or 3 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And all the time I've known him, for like 10 years or so, I've never heard him once bring up the Chargers or even seen him wear like a lightning bolt. That must have
I've
just
never
been...
seen him wear it, but he would root kind of for both of them. And then, but he always said like Indianapolis is the one.
What
I
does
like
Olds mean?
More.
What does Olds mean?
Well, the Bolts and the Colts.
Oh, okay.
So he's just an Olds fan. An Olds fan. Him.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, just tell us on social media. Hey, I listen to Junkie Radio. I'm at MMA Junkie George on Instagram and Twitter. And then I'm on Facebook as well. I mean, if you go to the Junkie page, you see me commenting as Gorgeous George on the Junkie page. And Goz is at the Goz on
G-O-Z-E.
Twitter.
G-O-Z-E.
And Instagram. T-H-G-O-Z-E.
Yeah. You want to know my idea for football?
Sure.
Okay. So I don't think we need a preseason anymore. But here's what I would like to see happen. You know how there's spring training
You're
in baseball?
Zero preseason?
I'm saying zero preseason. Okay. So you know how there's spring training in baseball? I say you just pick a bunch of places in the U.S. and do almost like four groups. Just send four teams to just say Arizona, wherever, right? And those four teams, they scrimmage just halves or something like that. So you show up and let's just say in one
Well,
day,
they do that anyway.
No, no. Yeah, but fans are allowed to come out.
Oh, okay.
So it's like you know, four teams. So you have, let's say, the Buffalo Bills, the San Francisco 49ers, the Washington Football Club, and the Bears, right? So in one, you pay a ticket, you get to see two teams scrimmage in a day. And then the next day, different teams, or not next day, but, you know, a couple days later or something like that. And you make it like a fan experience. Instead.
Right. I've seen a few of those scrimmages on Hard Knocks or whatever.
They're fun.
They're usually not all the way padded, I believe.
They're padded. They just don't, I think you can't hit the quarterback, I think is the only rule, right?
Well, I've seen them without the leg pads. I've seen them with shoulder pads and helmets, but, what I would like is I think mostly the exhibition is where you find out, hey, who's that fifth or sixth linebacker we're keeping? Who's that sixth or seventh or eighth DB we're keeping? Depending on the defensive packages you run, who's that 10th lineman versus the third tight end? You know, some right will run wide receiver spread. Some are more running oriented. So I think that's where they get their looks. If you'll notice, especially towards the end, like week four, you'll see the starters come out and run one series and they sit. Week three, they'll usually make it to the half. That's kind of the apex of what they're going to show you. And then week four, that's it, because you're playing a little bit of the injury game more than likely.
Week one is like two
and
or three
Week
series.
One and two, yeah, they're just easing into it. So I think two would be good, and I think that's what they were trying to negotiate was, hey, give us 18 weeks during the regular season, but we'll take two off here. And I'm like, no, that's not what we want. The players are already at their max, and we already adjusted the record book one time from 14 games to 16 games. So when guys rushed for, like when O.J. Simpson rushed for 2,000 yards, it was like 2003, the amount, not the year. He did that in 14 games. Right. And then they went to 16, and a few started rushing for 2,000. And we're like, well, yeah, you had the extra two games. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we already adjusted it once, 30, 40 years ago. I wouldn't want to do it again. And that's why Cy Young's record will never be broken, by the way. The guy would pitch like a lot. 511 wins. No one even gets over 300 now. So what I would like to see him do is a second bye week. So if you want to stretch the season out, us as fans, you may have a bye week, a second bye week, but we still get football because other teams are playing. So the league's still generating money. The teams are going, Fantasy. Okay, but we still only have our 16 weeks. Well, sure, but I think you can get a little bit out of television. You know, but I don't know that I want to see them play another week. I think we already make it to the finish line with a lot of injuries. Unless you're going to expand the rosters maybe a little bit. But I at least two exhibition games. If we ever make it to Goz's idea of zero, I don't know. We'll have to see what it's like, but let's ease into it. But that's what we had this year. Either way, I had fun watching ball today.
Well,
my team lost, but I still had, I watched a competitive game, and I saw some other competitive games, and that was fine. And I'm not even a fantasy football player anymore. I'm just a little light gambler, but I just needed that.
I'm going to tie this into MMA.
Okay.
This is a trap.
Okay.
Really, what I want to get at is comments that Dana White made a while back ago about MMA just being the biggest sport in the world, overtaking football, overtaking soccer. Mm-hmm. Never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And even today, just seeing the buzz around week one, it's so much bigger, I think, than even most big fight cards. Just yeah. So many people. I mean, even girls that don't normally watch, like, they have their team, they throw in their jersey, they're talking about, you know, their fantasy teams.
Well, when you go to Albertsons, like, to your favorite shopping, they're wearing their jerseys. Yeah. You know, it's like employee day where you get to wear your jersey, and I think if you wear one, you get 5% off. I don't know.
But you're not going to catch soccer. It's tremendous. You will never catch soccer.
Right.
But I'll give you, if things were to just completely blow up, maybe you can catch the big four here.
No, football's not getting caught.
But all I'm saying is right now you're college, nowhere pro, close and to
high
it.
School. Yeah.
Yeah. You're nowhere close to it, right?
You can only catch baseball, hockey, because they're dwindling, but they're still popular. Especially again, pros I'm talking about. And what's the other one? Basketball. Ooh, that's kind of worldwide. That one's a tough one too, man. All right, let's talk some MMA. MMA, we started off on Friday with Bellator 245. Read you some results. I'll talk about the fights that include names that we all recognize. Keith Lee, he's a friend of the show. He climbed a 7-3. He defeated Vinicius Zani via decision. That's Kevin Lee's younger brother. He's been in our studio. We've seen him. We've met him when he couldn't come to the studio because he wasn't even 21. We also called his fights at Tough Enough, so we'll always root for Keith Lee. Sweet kid, man, honestly. Tyrell Fortune versus Jack May. These are two guys, big dudes, heavyweights, that we know Jack May because we call his fights at Bad Beat. And Tyrell Fortune is a NC2A wrestler who's been coming along. He got beat by Timothy Johnson. He took his first loss a few months ago. He was looking to bounce back, but that fight ended no contest, accidental low blow in the first round. So hopefully they run it back. I mean, I don't mind the pairing. Leslie Smith got a win over Amanda Bell. Leslie Smith says, hey, it'd be an honor to fight Kadzi Ngannou. All right. Alex Polizzi defeated Rafael Carvalho. Carvalho is the former middleweight champion for Bellator. So that's a lot. That's a big loss to him because, again, these divisions aren't that deep over at Bellator. And if you want to get a title shot, like Michelle Watterson's requesting, and I'll address that later on, it's not inconceivable at Bellator to just, when you lose a big fight, win two in a row and you're seriously being talked about. Maybe with the exception of the featherweight and welterweight division, they're a little deeper. But he lost, so that's a huge loss for him. Raymond Daniels and Peter Stanonik. That ended in an accidental low blow as well. Now, that's where we nuts were getting crushed, man. There.
So that what that ended up being was a testicular contusion. But the
bruised testicle?
Yeah, but I've never seen anything like that. I mean, it was brutal. The poor kid was just rolling around screaming. No. He's just rolling around screaming. God, I hate how Paula Abdul dances. I don't know. I can do that. I can do all of that. It's so silly to me what she does.
She used to be a Laker girl, and everybody respected her dancing can't do
that.
Skills.
You can't do that?
I think so.
It's the dumbest thing. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. It was probably the worst nutshot I've ever seen. And reaction to it. It was just so uncomfortable. I felt so bad for that kid, man. It was brutal.
Yeah. All right, so that ended in an accidental low blow. Then Taylor Johnson defeated Ed Ruth. Ed Ruth came along around the same time as Tyrell Fortune. Ed Ruth, I know a little bit more about him. He's from Penn State, national champion. He's now 8-3. He was part of that welterweight Grand Prix, but now he's had those three losses. When he was 8-0, we were like, hey, I wonder if he could be the next big thing. A la Cejudo, a la Cormier, you know, a wrestler with huge accolades, then transferring over. Actually came to the studio once, did an in-studio interview, and super cool dude. But he just...
good friend of Richard Hunter's, right?
Yeah. Submission via heel hook. He just has these holes he needs to plug. Because what I've seen shows me promise. I hope he doesn't give up on himself. But Taylor Johnson moves on. Next one. Kadzi Ngannou defeated Gabriel Holloway. I couldn't have been more bored. I've always liked Kat Zingano because she's got this, like, I always use the word swag. And what by that, I mean like an edge to her. An edge where you can tell she's trying to be ladylike. You can tell she's trying to be professional. You can tell she's trying to say the right things the way her managers or her advisors have told her how you speak, you know, because you never know who, if there might be a potential advertiser or you don't want to make the promotion look bad. But then at the same time, she wants to be herself and she'll just go, I fucked up, you know, and she just lets it go like that. And she just, I don't know. Plus, how can you not always kind of have a soft spot for someone who's been through so much tragedy? You know, her husband took his own life years ago. They were in our studio. We got to meet that guy. His name was Mauricio Zingano, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. So, you know, he, like I said, she had to overcome that. She had a little son. And I remember at Mandalay Bay, she had a great fight with Misha Tate. I mean, it was just, they both went at it. That was one of
my favorite female fights in person.
It was really good. Yeah, violent. And she always had that thing where, hey, who? You know, Amanda Nunes is like 14-1 in the UFC. And that's the answer to your trivia question. Who gave her the loss? Kat Zingano. So you always felt like if she could bounce back from that 14-second loss or 13-second loss to Ronda Rousey and get a couple wins, she had the perfect card to play against Amanda. Hey, I beat you, you know? And maybe Amanda would want to avenge that. I don't know. But she just kept losing fights and she didn't really settle in on a division. Apparently, she's been battling a lot of health issues. And look, this almost sounds terrible because she won the fight, but I think she could have made a big splash out there at Bellator and instantly just go out, smoke this Holloway lady who was 6-5 coming in, and then maybe get a shot at Cyborg. You know, her life changes if she beats Cyborg. I don't think she can beat her, but, you know, as you can see, I'm a little more warm to Leslie Smith versus Kat Zingano. I mean, Cyborg, they already announced the fight for her anyway. So, yeah, let's get these two veterans. Let's see who has it, Smith or Zingano. Let's pray that Zingano wins because we've already seen Smith versus Cyborg, and that didn't go well for Smith. I don't want to see it again. At least I haven't seen Zingano and Cyborg, and I have a feeling that it would be very similar, but until it happens, you know, who knows? Because Zingano on the ground is not bad. Now, that said, so is Cyborg. Cyborg's pretty much good at everything. All right, so now we get the Phil Davis versus Lyoto Machida, the main event. And again, I wasn't not your impressed. Most
entertaining fight, right?
Right. These guys, it's not that they don't deserve the money they get. They've spilled a lot of blood. They've shed a lot of tears. They've put their body through the ringer, not just with training camps, but with weight cuts, you know, getting beat up, all that shit. So when you hear about some of the money that Bellator writes for them to come over to the UFC, you get excited because a good second promotion pushes the UFC to get better. But I haven't seen a lot of these guys and gals deliver goes for Bellator. And I feel bad for Bellator because they're fucking doing their end of it. They're writing the big checks.
I think that's the big problem.
They're saying, go ahead, express yourself. You wanna come down with bitches and an umbrella and you want to be a pimp? Cool. You used to be in the military? All right, man, we'll put the American flag and some tanks and you can come out in your fatigues. Cool. Oh, man, you know, you're a martial artist. You want to come out in your gi? You know, all right, cool, whatever. It's like they really give you the platform to give to be your best and like the shackles are gone. And not all of them, but a lot of them just, I don't know, man.
They lack that fire, the fire that they used to have, that we all know them to have. And I think it's because they get that initial payday so much more than probably what they used to get. I think they just kind of lose it. And like you said, you can lose a fight. In the UFC, if you lose a fight, you're really soul searching, trying to figure out, God, I got to go through 3, 4, 5 more guys just to get this shot ever again. You said it yourself earlier, and you're right. 2 fights, you're right back where you need to be in most divisions, almost all of the divisions, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. So I think there's just not that urgency from fighters.
And they both have been champs, Lyoto and the UFC.
They've been through their wars.
And Phil and Bellator, could it be like they don't really, the belt? Like, I don't even think they get pay-per-view cuts. Because rarely do they have a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they get some sort of a bonus for being a champ. I don't know if the belt means anything. But how can you incentivize these guys and gals to go out there and make sure, hey, man, I got to win this next fight. And I have the answer. But unless you want to answer it.
I would say that first initial paycheck shouldn't be that big. And I think being a champ should get you a lot more money. Right. I think it's the only way to keep
them going. But that's what gets them over is that first initial check.
But see, but now the UFC is being a little bit more hardball. Stingy, but yeah, with their, you know, I mean, right. We'll get to that even later in the show.
Well, here's what I was getting at. Grand Prix. Yeah. With $1 million payday. Get some big sponsor to award these fighters $1 million. I think everyone I saw at featherweight and at heavyweight and welter. Although only two of them got millions, right? The feather. Oh, the feather's not done. No. But the welterweights got $1 million and the heavyweights didn't. Mm. But I think something like that might be enough to go, hey, look, they already came out with the brackets. There's eight of us. Three hard camps. I just got to push myself to go out there and fucking give it my all. I think maybe that might be it. And Manny might go, are you fucking nuts, George? Have you lost it? No, I haven't. And I'll tell you why. I think I was more excited, girls, for Grand Prix in the Pride era than actual title shots. Not that I wasn't excited about title shots, but how many times do we ever go, he was a five-time Pride champion, he won the belt, he had four title defense. I don't think most people can remember how many title defenses Fedor really had, because some were non-title, some were, you know, because remember we had those clown fights, a couple exhibition fights,
Hungman Choi,
Yeah, but remember, I still remember like the open weight Grand Prix, the middleweight Grand Prix, when they would release who was in it, we'd all go, wow. It was something like that Ryan Bennett and Frank Trigg would talk about for a whole hour and a half.
We're still talking about
it. And we're taking calls and who do you want to see, you know, stuff like that. Grand Prix, I think, is something maybe Bellator could just do, you know, and maybe it's nice if they start January and then December. I mean, PFL kind of has something like that. It's a season and then a tournament. But I think these guys could just go straight tournament, award $1 million, and then if there's injuries, you stagger them, and then the next year starts differently. But granted, if you get eliminated, what do you do? Well, some guys and gals can just take fights. You know, it wouldn't be for much pay.
Check Congo.
But the bigger names could be rewarded in these Grand Prix.
Yeah, I agree.
Because really, I'm sitting there watching Bellator. I'm giving them my all on a Friday and a Saturday on delay, by the way. And I just think the fighters let down the promotion because I think the promotion tries. Scott Coker had like a fucking five-man team. It was like a basketball team over at Strikeforce. And they got fans really, really excited about their cards. They just shoved two.
They staggered their cards
like,
too, though.
Like Paul Daly, well. He's fighting some guy in Italy or Paris. I should go countries. Italy or France, because they have two cards coming up, Italy and France. And then the other guy, Michael Venom Page, he's fighting someone else. Put them against each other. What are we waiting for? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think one guy's already threatening to retire. I think Daly's saying, that's it, three more and I'm done, or something like that. What the fuck are we waiting for?
I have no idea.
You know, I like Congo versus Johnson. All right, cool. Johnson's on a roll. You know, I'd rather have Congo versus Bader and just run back, settle that one. But man, I'm telling you, there's really, really some frustrating moments. But anyway, that was Bellator on Friday night. Phil Davis won. I honestly thought Machida won. I thought he eked out the 29-28. But, I mean, it wasn't one of those where I want to go picket the Bellator headquarters. Like, I just accept the decision.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that same feeling almost with the UFC.
We are. So let's go Bellator again, and then we'll finish up with UFC. Bellator 246 was the next day. Bellator 246 was Saturday. All of this in Uncasville, Connecticut, the Mohegan Sun. That's Bellator's home. Mm-hmm. And we had, let's see here, Davion Franklin beat Ross Hilton. Ty Gwerdner defeated George Tokos. Daniel Madrid defeated Pat Casey. And Keone Diggs defeated Derek Campos. I swear to God, when I bet against Derek Campos, he wins. When I bet on him, he loses. That guy, man. Liz Carmouche beat Deanna Bennett. Neiman Gracie retired, you could say. John Fitch, he beat him, and then John Fitch retired. And Juan Archuleta defeated Patchy Mix in the main event. So I think we can pretty much skip to... You got anything to say about Keone Diggs versus Derek Campos or Liz Carmouche versus Deanna Bennett?
Well, just when you tie in Liz Carmouche, you know, you look at Kat Zingano, Liz Carmouche. Those are big signings for them, for females. And neither one of them really looked all that great. I mean, it was great for Carmouche when she got the finish, but the fight itself wasn't that great. And there were moments where she got taken down and put on her back. So I kind of feel bad for them sometimes, you know, with the way some of these pan out. But that's all I wanted to say about this Carmouche.
Yeah. I mean, all right. Neiman Gracie beat John Fitch. Submission heel hook happened in round two. Towards the end, John Fitch usually was one of those guys that was very, very difficult to submit. I remember at WSOF, we got to see Josh Berkman submit him. And I can't remember if Berkman even won a title from that or what. But that was I remember going, whoa, because Fitch was just one of those guys that was really, really hard to submit. Mostly because he was always on top, beating the shit out of everybody. But interesting career. I'm glad he grabbed the major belt. I know people are going to go, it's WSOF. No, man. That's a promotion that's got a lot of resources and a lot of money, and they signed some good fighters. And that's a belt that you have to respectfully, you have to talk about it like that. You know, David Branch wore one, Justin Gaethje, Marlon Moraes, John Fitch. They wore these belts, and deservedly so. It's called a major belt, just like the WEC, just like the IFL. Is it a UFC? No, of course not. No one's saying that. And is it a Pride? No, nobody's saying that either. But still, he won a belt. It was a huge moment for him. So he accomplished that. He got a lot of skins on his wall. He just happened to be in the UFC at the same time as GSP.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall he had a good career. I thought it was a fun fight with Neiman Gracie just because it was pretty tactical. But you could almost see that ending coming. It was kind of funny when they were talking, not talking smack, but just talking to each other. And I mean, he's a good guy. It's nice that Josh Thompson was there. And a lot, if you see Twitter, a lot of people come into his support.
Yeah.
Good career for the guy.
Yeah. 42, 43. So it was time. Juan Archuleta defeated Patchy Mix. Goes, I got that one wrong. Good I got on Patchy him. Mix. If he takes his back or just a dominant position, I thought he could finish Juan Archuleta because Juan Archuleta's, how do I say this without disrespecting him? I think he's pretty good at a lot of things, but he's not a difficult puzzle to solve. You kind of know what he's going to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But Patchy Mix is like, he's just going to beat you up over time. Patchy Mix has this threat of just really, really high to me, it seems like high level jiu-jitsu. A couple times he did take the back, but
he had moments.
Yeah.
He had his moments. He just didn't capitalize. That's the only
problem. I think it was a lot of experience too. Archuleta's got way more fights. He's 25-2. Patchy Mix is 13-1. So not twice as many, but almost.
Juan has always been the opposite. He just sometimes kind of brain farts and doesn't capitalize on his moments. But this is the one time where he was able to put everything together and it worked for him. And he's got a belt now. That's so cool.
Yeah, I agree. Congrats. So now Bellator has a bantamweight champion. Bellator had another announcement. I don't know if it was during fight week or not, but I think Chris Cyborg's got an opponent. And then we know Douglas Lima is going to move up to fight Musasi. And I'm not a big fan of champs only because you leave a division behind. Sometimes it makes sense. About 30 minutes ago, I actually tweeted, Henry Cejudo really wants to fight Volkanovski, and I don't think Holloway deserves it. So I, you know what? I'm warm to it. I'd rather have Holloway fight Cater, which Cater wants. C4, go for it. I mean, he already let go of the 125 belt and the 135 belt, so it's not like he's holding that up. He's going for greatness. All right, cool. I think he's kind of earned it, you know. He made something of his persona, and he's won fights, and he's been finishing, and he fought tough dudes that were bigger than him. Plus, in the meantime, it looks like Zabit and Yair are going to do their thing. You already got the Zombie and Ortega set up. So I'm like, if you're going to do it, pick a date sometime in November. Let's fucking get it over with. And then let those guys that really deserve it, the Caters, the Zabits, the Yairs, all them, someone be rewarded with an actual title shot to start 2021. That's the only way. Now, if they go, guess what? It's Volkanovski versus Cejudo next June. I'd be like, fuck. Because then that holds everything up. All because of this guy chasing a dream. That's when all of a sudden his dream interrupts the flow of a whole division. That's when I have a problem with it.
I would only be down with it under those circumstances. Just because the guys that are trailing are just so even. the four of them, that it would be nice to kind of see fights play out and then something really happen.
Yeah. Now, Bellator needs a middleweight champ, but I don't think they need a champ. I'm right. not saying I think I would still take Musasi over Lima, but I don't know because Lima's really been good lately. But Lima's in a division that's got,
it's got tough guys in there.
Yeah, I mean, Fitch just retired and Ruth just took a loss, but I guess Neiman Gracie, MVP, I don't know, whoever. Lorenz
Larkin.
Yeah, Lorenz Larkin, that's the one. Get them in there. Get them fighting. That's a division that's got activity. Let the champ defend. Fill the middleweight with someone else. I don't know. But whatever. On the one hand, I'm saying give us great fights. That is a great fight. So maybe I should just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you're hard to please, huh?
Mm-hmm. Moving on to UFC?
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
The Sneak is a true crime podcast from For the Win in USA Today, and this season is on a surfing champion whose life took a violent, tragic turn.
Within 30 seconds, they're both dead.
The Sneak, Murders at Whiskey Creek, is out July 29th, wherever you get podcasts.
We got the UFC, or Bellator, out of the way, so let's talk about UFC. It was an ESPN Plus show. Watterson versus Hill was the main event. Remember, this was going to be Thiago Santos versus Glover Teixeira. Teixeira got COVID. We hope for a quick recovery, and I would love to see that pairing booked soon. Night started off with Jalen Turner defeated Brock. Ooh, no, I got that wrong. Sabina Mazzo defeated Justine Kish. These were flyweights. Good win for Sabina Mazzo. 9-1 now. Justine Kish falls to 7-3. Brian Barberina, also known as Vinny Barberino. He's 15-7. He defeated Anthony Ivey, who fell to 8-4. Jalen Turner went to 10-5. He defeated Brock Weaver. The Barberina fight was a welterweight fight. However, the Turner-Weaver fight was fought at 165. We had two submissions there within those first three fights. Any comments, goes on Barberina, Turner, or Mazzo?
You know, I thought the Turner fight was interesting. Brock Weaver took a lot of shots. There was one where there was almost like a walk-off where he probably could have finished it. The officiating that night was kind of off a little bit. It was a little strange. A lot of weird little things happened. But I don't know. Brock Weaver's a guy that came from Contenders, and a lot of people thought he had some promise and thought he would kind of fit in a little bit, but it hasn't really worked out too well for him.
Three in a row now.
Yeah. Turner's fun to watch.
Moving on, Alexander Romanov defeated Roque Martinez. Romanov is now 12-0. Martinez is 15-6. It was an arm triangle in round two. These were heavyweights. Kevin Kroom steps up, man. He fights. He wins. He's 22-12 now. He defeated Roosevelt Roberts, who fell to 10-3. These were lightweights, and it was a standing guillotine choke. And I'll tell you what, Roosevelt Roberts impressed the hell out of me in Jacksonville. He's lost two since, Goz.
I know. It's weird, huh?
Yeah, the stock dropped.
Big time.
He's a Florida kid, if I'm not mistaken, that Roberts guy. Sijara Eubanks defeated Julia Avila. That was a decision. It went three rounds. These are bantamweights. Any thoughts on Eubanks, Kroom, or Romanov?
Eubanks, I think, is somebody that if she just had a little bit better luck, I mean, if she just turned things around for the better, I think she could be somebody that I see a lot of people like her online. I see a lot of people get behind her. Hopefully she turns a corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kroom was slick. $50,000 bonus for him for submission of the night. We move on. Fight card was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, overall,
we're not
great.
Even at the main stuff here. Billy Quarantillo defeated Kyle Nelson. This was a KO, big right cross. He landed on him in the third round. He goes to 15-2, falling to 13-4 is Kyle Nelson. Bobby Green defeated Alan Patrick. Green now 27-10. Patrick fell to 15-3. Green, by the way, has won three fights in 4 months. Big summer for him. Guy that's had some injuries, personal problems, and used to go like a year and a half without fighting, and now 3 and 4 months. That means show money win money, 3 times. He usually makes it entertaining.
He got a bonus somewhere in there too, right?
Oh, he might have. Yeah, I can look it up. And he's had a rough story. We know him from the SoCal days. So I'm happy for him, honestly.
UFC has another decision to make, and it's kind of along the lines of he has this type of style and this type of swag to him that reminds me a little bit of Masvidal, where if you promote him properly, I'm not saying he could be a super mega star or anything like that, but he could be a lot bigger than what he is, mm-hmm. I think. As long as he stays healthy and he keeps putting fights on like that.
I would agree. Ed Herman defeated Mike Rodriguez. Look, I like Ed Herman, but he didn't win that fight. He's going to be the victor of record, climbing to 25-14, Rodriguez falling to 11-5, but I thought Rodriguez finished him with those shots to the body. Yeah. That Chris Tyone, who we've known for a while, because he's called fights all the way from Tough Enough, got promoted to the professionals. I thought for the most part he's done a good job. I don't remember too many glaring mistakes, but this one was bad. I wish Dana wouldn't just... I guess you have to compare him to Mazzagatti, but what happens is Dana's got such a powerful influence. I just hope he doesn't bury this guy because it was a bad call, but I don't think it makes him a horrific ref either.
But he's adding fuel to the fire because you're going to see Chris Tyone probably this coming weekend. You're going to see him over and over and over again. All you're doing is probably damaging the dude's
confidence,
yeah. You know? So it was a mistake. He's the type of guy that I think will own up to it. Mm-hmm. So you just move on. It really, really sucks, though, for Rodriguez. Ed Herman kind of cracked me up. I'm glad they asked him in the post-fight, you know.
But I don't know. Huh?
He kind of played it off well, though. Was it
my
growing
or my body? Bitch, you know that.
I have to go back and watch it. Like,
I think he should
have
just said, I was in so much pain, I don't know where he got me, you know. But
even then, like, what guy doesn't remember getting hit in the nuts? I know. Right? There's not one day where you go, did I get hit in the nuts today? If you got hit, you remember that shit for about a month, 2 weeks.
Right.
Who knows, right?
Right.
But it was just kind of funny to see him play along. And I can't hate him, dude. I can't hate him
either. I've always liked that guy.
A lot of people would have done the same thing in that situation. It's not his fault.
But basically, he was in pain from the two shots to the body. I think one was a knee or were they? No, they were both knees.
Mm-hmm. That Kimura, man. He almost spun his arm all the way around.
And he's not hurt, by the way. They said Rodriguez's arm is all right. So the shoulder's okay. And Rodriguez goes home with a win bonus. Gumby? So props to Dana for paying him his win bonus and acknowledging that. What he was saying was even more reasons to really get to be able to use the instant replay, because instant replay is used at the end of the fight. Mm-hmm. And in this case, with that big timeout and everyone looking up and seeing that there were shots to the body, with Dana saying, can we use it now? That's a whole other conversation that we can't spend now. And I off the top of my head, it sounds like a good idea, but at the same time, man, we would be stopping a lot of fights, folks. And I've seen what it's done to basketball, football, and baseball. And then people complain, the fucking night's too long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but this is different. Remember
finger
man.
Pokes and
you get a bad call in the Clipper game. They're gonna play tomorrow. You know, the next day.
I know
they'll be right back. This is a little different. This one, I'm okay with doing that.
Yeah. And I want it to be across the board, all commissions.
Mm-hmm. It's a long night, part. Though. Boo-hoo! You got to sit there and watch fights. Poor you.
All right, so we got the Herman, Green, and Quarantillo. Anything else on any of them goes before we move on?
I thought that was a good win for Quarantillo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And since I leaked one of the bonuses, I might as well leak them all. So... Kroom got $50,000 for that sub, and then Azitar got $50,000 for his knockout of Ottoman of Kama Worthy. In fact, why did I do that? Because I just spoiled that. As we move on, Roxanne Modafferi defeated Andrea Lee. She was a big underdog. I bet her. I won money. I'm going to give her a high five the next time I see Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea Lee is pretty solid all the way around, except she just tires.
You should pick up trash with her.
Roxanne?
I bet you she would really like that. Have you ever seen that?
No.
I think almost every day she goes out and just picks up trash in Vegas.
Her neighborhood thing. Or she picks different neighborhoods?
I think kind of roughly around her neighborhood.
Well, that's nice. But
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think I
mean, if I had that little, what is it, like a little lever where you clip it? It's mm-hmm. like an extension of a, what do you call it? The hoof.
It's like a little robot hand thing.
Yeah, right? Something like that.
Clasper.
Gloves. And a big old bag. Once the bag's full, I'm done. I'd do it.
Sure.
I just don't want some drug needle poking me or whatever. But, yeah, I think I'm in. That's what the grabber is, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what's the official name of that grabber? Clasp? I sound ridiculous saying that. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. It like tongs, right? That effect?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. All right. So she wins, and we move on to Otman Azatar, defeated Kama Worthy. Beautiful KO, TKO stoppage in round one. These guys have been talking it up, man. And by the way, Roxanne Modafferi now 25-17. I think she fought as a 38-year-old, by the way. Lee's 11-5. Azatar 13-0 overall. Worthy falls to 16-7. That was the co-main event. We get to the main event. Michelle Watterson defeated Angela Hill. Michelle Watterson goes to 18-8. Hill to 12-9. These were five rounds. It was a split decision. I thought Hill won.
Me too.
I thought it was pretty close, but I thought the way Hill closed in the last 15 seconds, she was kind of kneeing and throwing some shots against the cage. I thought that was enough. That said, I wasn't outraged.
Enough, huh? It was just enough because it was that close. And that's why, like, a lot of people online were saying, oh, you got it wrong. You did this. Like, I don't know that. I thought Hill won, but I can't even say, like, it's just that close that you really have to pick that type of fight with a fine comb. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can really say robbery or somebody got it wrong.
No,
it
was
just that close.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him do it again, though.
Me too. Here's how the judges had it. I guess it didn't matter with Sal D'Amato. He turned in 4 tens for Watterson. And so his card didn't matter. By that I mean that even if you give Hill that round, she still loses on his card. However, Chris Lee and Derek Leary were identical. They both had 10-9, 10-9 for Hill in rounds 1 and 2, 10-9, 10-9 for Watterson in rounds 3 or 4. That's Watterson started taking her to the ground.
That's where that's exactly how I had it.
Me too.
But I thought after round 4 for sure, but even after round 3, I said, wow, if Michelle can keep doing this, she's going to win this fight.
Yeah, because Hill had no answer on the ground. Yeah. And then in rounds 5, Lee gave Hill round 5. Cleary gave Watterson round 5. D'Amato had already given Watterson the fight, basically, so it didn't matter. It's just, I guess if Cleary gives Hill round 5, she wins. Now, the media scores. We had about 20 media turn in cards. It was about 50-50, man, for Watterson and Hill. We did have pretty much 90%, 95, 99%, either 48, 47s. So shout-outs to all these people that turned in their cards. Morocco over there at MMA Fighting, good friend of the show, including him. Sean Sheehan from Severe MMA, I remember him. He's good. Nick Baldwin, I've always liked that guy from The Score. So, you know, very, very familiar names. We did have one maniac, Drake Riggs from The Body Lock. He had 49-46 Watterson. If I'm calling him a maniac, then I'm calling Sal D'Amato a maniac. Sal D'Amato's been in our studio. Very, very nice man. Respected judge. I disagree that Watterson won round 2, but I don't think he's a maniac. So I take it back on Drake Riggs. I guess he's not a maniac.
No.
I just disagree with his scorecard.
I mean, I don't see how you wouldn't give round 1 and 2 to Hill.
Yeah.
Same you could say the same thing the other way for 3 and 4.
These were strawweights. I wouldn't say it was like Joanna and Zhang Wei Li. But they fucking went to the end. They showed a lot of heart. They emptied the gas tank. If I were to walk behind the curtain and see them both hooked up to IVs, I would believe it, because that's what I like to see of, you know, putting it all out there and giving it your best till the very end. Both ladies wanted to win, and it's unfortunate only one could win. But they both got bonused. What Dana White did say was that no one's stock dropped.
That's good.
Yeah. Hill now has lost the Gadelha fight and the Waterson fight.
They've been talking smack,
both
too.
Both by split, that? Yeah. And both were, you had credible journalists scoring it for Hill, but she hasn't gotten either one. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think, Hill, dude, she must be beloved by the UFC. She stepped up on late notice so many times. She can afford a bump like this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't have the prettiest record, but still. And you know, if Hill were to retire today, she still has that Invicta belt.
I like that little vignette that they gave her where she was just kind of explaining. It was way before they even got to the main card, but just talking about how late she came into martial arts.
Because she was a Muay Thai fighter. I'm not mistaken,
even into that, yeah.
You and I saw her at Lion Fight, right?
I think so, yeah.
I'm almost positive of that. So that, folks, is the UFC fight card. It really was good. And man, this weekend's, by the way, which we'll talk about on the Thursday show, is a really good card. So the UFC's picking up some momentum as they do Contender Series on Tuesday. So we just had the great fight card on Saturday that we just talked about. Contender Series on Tuesday. Then they got the Fight Night card with Colby and Tyron. That one's solid. And after that, they suspend contenders. So this Tuesday is the last contenders until they come back in 5 weeks, probably something like 6 weeks in November sometime. They come back from Fight Island and then they'll renew it and finish out the season because I think they want to do their 10 episodes. And in Fight Island, it all starts on September 26th with UFC 253 Izzy versus Costa. Then they have three fight nights at Fight Island. And then they have UFC 254, which I think is October 24th, with Gaethje versus Khabib. Dana says he's going to be out there for all 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be the five fight cards. Remember last time they did four. Three. Oh, no, four. Yeah, because they had the Wednesday show. So they're going to do three. Another thing he clarified, the second one, the Gaethje Khabib, is going to be prime time for Europe. So we're going to get one of those BJ Penn, Joe Stevenson from Newcastle's. We're watching a title fight like at noon over here.
That's not so bad.
I don't care. Yeah. I'm down with it too. I'll just be watching some college football with it. So those are really all the details we can give us because the UFC hasn't put out many details. If you've noticed, they haven't really publicized these cards too much. Mm. John Morgan asked Dana, like, when are you going to have something a little bit more official other than we're going? He said, almost something like shut up and wait, you know, it's coming. But yesterday was September 12th and this card is on 2 weeks later. Like, you would think we would see a little bit more. I mean, shit, soon they got to start flying there and filming the embeds and
Ultimate Fighter when they come back too.
I know, man, that's a big yawner for me. I'm starting to just think like, oh, good for you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, folks, that's kind of it right there, man. That's UFC, or that's Junkie Radio on a Sunday night, Sunday, September 13th. Hopefully you enjoyed the first Sunday of the NFL. The English Premier League came back. Same thing, man. If you adopted a team, let us know who it is. Man U doesn't play till next week because they had some extended play in the summer tournaments, so they were given an extra week off to recover. And congrats to the Lakers. They made it to the Western Conference Finals. I've never said that in September before. The Nuggets are showing heart, goes. They were down 3-1 and down 20 in game five. I was a longtime listener of Junkie Raid. I don't even know if he listens still. They used to call him Swordafish, but it's Slick Rick the Fish. I found him on Twitter, and I was like telling him, have fun fishing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they came back and won, and they've won a couple more times. It's now 3-3, and they have a game four, man, against the Clippers. So shout out to them. And one last thing, man. These fires, California, Washington, and California, fuck, my heart goes out to you if you've been affected in any way, not just by the fire itself attacking your home, of course. You know, those are the biggest. Those are the saddest stories you want to hear. But to all the firefighters that are out there, I mean, these are like every year we say this, but I believe the records have been broken for the amount of acres that have just been ravaged, lives lost, homes destroyed. So a big shout out to those brave firefighters that are out there just battling, man. Anyone that's been affected by the homes. And like I was telling Goes, about 10 years ago, our mom drove on a freeway through kind of like a valley, I guess. The freeway splits two mountains, and there was a fire. And just her driving through, which took her about 20 minutes, she had this lingering cough for like a week. I can only imagine these people, man. What that, what's it called? The, not the carbon, you know, the actual smoke inhalation, I think they call it. God, man.
You know, our,
if you've been affected like that too, man, I hope you have a smooth recovery because that's brutal.
We did an interview with Eric Del Fiero, who's fighting that fire on the aircraft carrier. And he was just talking about how close he was to retirement. And like, God, he's had to work pretty hard this 2020, man.
Yeah, because of COVID and because of that. So, folks, we're going to bounce on out of here. That's our recap of the weekend. And don't forget to join us Wednesday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, for a live Junkie Radio show on Sportscaster. We don't have a guest yet, but we have one every week. Last week we had Joe Lauzon. And again, it's live, it's on video, and it lasts 1 hour. In the meantime, we're going to bounce out of here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and go out there and be a champion.